So we're reading from the most exalted Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila chapter 6, text 273 through to the end of the chapter, which is 286. So what I'll do with permission is to read the verses up until the last one, and then we'll recite that together. I'll try not to torture you with my Bengali. So text 273, this chapter is entitled The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Okay, so text 273, since I can understand Krishna according to these two meanings, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what point is there in changing the verse? So just to give context, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has recited a verse, it's a very famous verse, from the Bhagavatam, a verse spoken by Lord Brahma. But what he's done is he's changed the words. So it's meant to be, the Bhagavatam says, Jiveta yo mukti pade sabdaya bhak. But he's changed it to Jiveta yo bhakti pade sabdaya bhak. And that's text number 261. So he's then explained a little bit about that. And then Lord Chaitanya is now replying. So I'll just read this again. Since I can understand Krishna according to these two meanings, so he's this term mukti pade. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what point is there in changing the verse? Text number 274. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, I was not able to give that reading to the verse. So that's important. We'll come back to that later on. 274, though your explanation is correct, it should not be used, because there is ambiguity in the word mukti pada. Text 275. The word mukti refers to five kinds of liberation, but its direct meaning usually conveys the idea of becoming one with the Lord. 276. The very sound of the word mukti immediately induces hate and fear. But when we say the word bhakti, we naturally feel transcendental bliss within the mind. 277. Upon hearing this explanation, the Lord began to laugh and with great pleasure immediately embraced Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya very firmly. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has replied to the Lord saying, actually, if we use the word mukti, it can have this meaning. If we use this, it brings this transcendental bliss, and Lord Chaitanya is now embraced him. 278. Indeed, that very person who had been accustomed to reading and teaching Mayavad philosophy was now even hating the word mukti. This was possible only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 279. As long as it does not turn iron into gold by its touch, no one can recognize an unknown stone to be a touchstone. 280. Upon seeing transcendental Vaishnavism in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, everyone could understand that Lord Chaitanya was none other than Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. 281. After this incident, all the inhabitants of Jagannath Puri, headed by Kashi Mishra, came to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. 282. Later I shall describe how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya always engaged in the service of the Lord. 283. I shall also describe in full detail how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya perfectly rendered service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by offering him alms. 284 to 285. If one hears with faith and love these pastimes concerning Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he very soon is freed from the net of speculation and fruitive activity and attains the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Okay. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Praying the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 6th chapter, describing the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Okay, we'll just say prayers and then begin. Amagyanatamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so we begin, we respectfully beg the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that we can, by their mercy, be able to say something or speak something on this wonderful literature, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so these verses take us to the end of this chapter, the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in previous verses in this chapter, he's in discussion with Gopinath Acharya, and eventually it is actually explained that through that association and conversation, he receives the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in that way, he gives up his misconceptions, his impersonalism. And we see in this particular place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he's reciting verses, or a verse especially from the Bhagavatam, and he's making explanation. Lord Chaitanya is very pleased with him. And this is our culture. And this is extremely important. See, more important than philosophy is the philosophy enacted through the culture. You have to see what is written on the page embodied in the devotees. It has various dimensions to it. One is it is preaching, actually. You can go around telling everyone that this is a great movement. You can go around telling everyone that they should become a devotee, but if the devotees are miserable, if they're unhappy, you will still get people, right? You'll get people, but you'll generally get people who have no other options. But the intelligent class of people, they'll look and see, okay, this is what you're saying, and then this is what you're doing. It is extremely unfortunate that in Kali Yuga that people say one thing and do something else. It is extremely unfortunate because it sets back the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And it's very easy to be done. Extremely easy to be done. And it can even be done with the teaching. Right? So sometimes devotees will say, oh, devotees don't cooperate. Right? Prabhupada said love and trust. Devotees don't cooperate. But what they really mean is I can't manipulate and control you. Right? You're not doing what I tell you to do. Right? So anything can be said. It can be said in the correct spirit. Or it can be used in the wrong way. And it's a very, very important thing to understand. Sincerity means that there's a completion. There's an alignment between what, not just what is said. It's what is said and its purpose, right? This is what's there. This is how it's meant to be used. This is how it's meant to be applied. And when we take the teachings and apply it properly, then you have real culture. And in that real culture, you also have real faith. Because The teachings are so potent. So potent. That if they're applied sincerely, there will undoubtedly be transformation. And this chapter is given that example. The liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. In Krishna Leela, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is Brihaspati. Right? So he's the guru of the demigods. So in this Chaitanya Leela, he has been transformed from just speaking dry logic and philosophy to really understanding the Shastra, understanding who Lord Chaitanya is, and more than understanding, more than understanding is to serve and to please. And that is what we are actually witnessing in it here. And it's very interesting, even the exchange here. So Lord Chaitanya has said one thing. Since I can understand Krishna according to these two meanings, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what point is there in changing the verse? And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, I was not able to give that reading to the verse. One of the things that is so enlivening in the literature is just the heartfelt humility of the Vaishnavas. Isn't it a breath of fresh air when you're just around people and they're just humble? There isn't this kind of really silly and immature one-upmanship. You know, I've read one verse. Yeah, well, actually, I've read more verses than you have, right? Or I've done this. Yeah, I've actually done that. And you're just thinking, when are we going to grow beyond this? When will we finally become mature? It is so interesting. In the previous verses, so Lord Chaitanya has said to Gopinath Acharya, he's become this Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You've blessed him. They want to give the credit to each other. Isn't that amazing? They actually want to give the credit to each other. No one wants to take the credit. They're secure. But when we're insecure, then you get this really, it's tamasic culture where we want to pull everyone else down because of envy. We still have this envy in the heart. And it's very, very interesting, because as long as you invoke anything in the lower mode, you can't have anything higher. Well, I was listening to something recently, and they were talking about, there was a devotee speaking about the paradox of the world. So, for example, if we live in a society, which we do, where there's so much emphasis on the body, right? Just trying to use images of the body to sell things and so on, then you invoke the mode of passion. And at the same time, the society will say everyone should look after each other and we should have societyship and cooperation and we should care for one another, which all belongs to the platform of the mode of goodness. So it's a contradiction. You cannot have something of a higher caliber if you invoke something of a lower platform. It's not possible. So this kind of mentality is childish. It's like it's people who like children, and there's so many adults like children. It's childish. So what you want, whatever you want, you have to be of that caliber. You have to act on that platform to get it. People say we want community. Okay, how can you have community if you're selfish? Any contradiction there? Yeah, it doesn't work. You know? So people who are intelligent, they just watch and see. Okay, if you want to have these relationships, these close relationships, where people are there for each other and support each other, and you're envious, and you undermine other devotees, and you are, you know, self-centered, then good luck. It's not going to happen. This is real community. It is such a deep exchange. And what are they doing? They're exchanging the teachings. They're nourishing each other with the mercy of the Lord. They take pleasure in seeing the other devotees grow and flourish. And if we want to overcome envy, this is how we have to become. Your success has to become my pleasure. Otherwise, there is absolutely no question of making real advancement. No question. Because just as we have envy towards each other, this idea that I'm going to envy other living entities, but I'm a great devotee who loves Krishna. Really. The people who say, you think, well, that's interesting. So you envy someone who at best is about 70% of the qualities of the Lord. You really think that if Krishna showed up, you're going to be able to have a good relationship with him, right? It may be okay in the beginning, but after a while, oh, that flute is now just getting on my nerves. It's just doing my head in, right? Right? What? Oh, you know, why is everyone talking to him? All right, do you have to be effulgent all the time? I can't just switch that off for a bit. It'll just become a headache. So that's the contradiction. Advanced means no envy. I repeat, advanced means no envy. So if there's envy, there is a lack of what? Advancement. Okay? And people can say whatever they want, but that's a fact. If there's envy, there's a lack of advancement. We sometimes confuse material expertise with actual devotion. Right? Very, very easy. And if we do that, then what happens is, then again, you break down community. Why? Because everyone does not have the same material ability. Is that something you've noticed? Anyone notice that? Right. Yeah. So if you make it material, you destroy the unity. If you make it spiritual, genuinely devotional, then you can have community. But that means you can't be self-centered. We can't be self-centered. That means I genuinely have to appreciate what you're doing and what you can do in devotion. Without trying to redefine the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the way that makes me look good. Yeah. I think we mentioned that in the previous class, right? There's Bhagavad Gita as it is. But what we read most of the time is Bhagavad Gita as I am. Right? Whichever parts stand out to me, whichever parts make me look good, that's the part that I'm going to emphasize to everyone else. Yeah. Anyway, so these verses. So this explanation. So it's very, very interesting. There's different... The way that Prabhupada has translated the verses in the Shastra, it is brilliant. But it's much deeper than is obvious. Because there's many different aspects to the translation. So for example, you have direct meaning. So there's this word, this Sanskrit in the Bhagavatam, Gangayam Gosham. Right? So the direct meaning, the dictionary meaning is the village on the river Ganga. That's a direct meaning. But you can't have a village on a river. Okay? If you try to build a village on the river, what happens to the village? It just goes in, right? So therefore, the direct meaning isn't used there. Therefore, the indirect meaning is used, which means the village by the river Ganga. Okay? But there's also what's called the implied meaning. So if you bathe in the Ganga, what happens to the heart? It becomes purified. So the implied meaning is the village of pure-hearted people who live by the river Ganga. So you have direct meaning, you have indirect meaning, you have the implied meaning. There's also what's called the conventional meaning. So in the Sanskrit, the word, an example is the word pankaja. The dictionary meaning of pankaja is that which grows on the mud, right, out of the mud. That's the actual dictionary definition. Okay, but there's also a conventional meaning that within the culture, how is that word used? Okay, so in the convention of Vedic culture, when people say pankaja, they mean a specific flower. What flower? Lotus. Right? So that's the conventional meaning. Just to give it in the modern context, just like, so the dictionary meaning, you say something was sick, right, or sick, it means ill, right? That's what it's understood to mean. And you can see where I'm going with this, right? So now, when people, especially young people, when they use, that was sick, what do they mean? It means something very, very different, right? Because the conventional meaning is different from the dictionary meaning. So there are so many layers of meaning to the Shastra. And what Prabhupada has done, and we are seeing a reflection of this here, he brings out the real meaning. And you can only do that if you love the person. If you love the person and you know the person, then you can understand what's in their heart. And then you can bring that out. and you can bring that out and you can convey that meaning not only to people who do not love the person, but Prabhupada's genius is he's able to convey that meaning in such a way that it impacts upon people who still have envy towards the same person, I, the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. So despite our envy, what Prabhupada has done is his love is so deep and strong that he's been able to bring out this meaning in such a way that it's able to penetrate the heart of even the envious individuals. It is an extraordinary achievement, which of course we have to take advantage of. And Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, very interesting, what does he say? He says, I was not able to give that reading to the verse. So Lord Chaitanya has actually said to him, look, I can understand that, since I can understand Krishna according to these two meanings, he's talking about Mukti Pade. I can understand it in this way, I can understand Krishna according to this, so why do you need to change it? Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, I wasn't able to give that reading to the verse, although your explanation is correct. Now get this, he's speaking to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's saying, my dear Lord, your explanation is correct, but it should not be used because there is ambiguity. In other words, I don't want people to misunderstand the person and the purpose of this verse. The word mukti refers to five kinds of liberation, but its direct meaning usually conveys the idea of becoming one with the Lord. This is instructive for us. It is very easy to weaponize this scripture. It is very easy to take it and to use it against people. Very easy. But if we're gentlemen and gentlewomen, and if we're sincere, you take it and you use it for the purpose that it's been given. So in Kali Yuga, people have this thing. I'm just being honest, right? I'm just saying it as it is, really, right? And you see the same person who's saying that, if it was said to you like that, you'd just be in tears. So it's hypocrisy. So there is the teachings. And there is also the emphasis. And you convey meaning on both platforms. You convey meaning by giving the philosophy. You convey meaning by giving the philosophy with consideration of time, place, circumstance, and person. If your teaching of Krishna consciousness repels people unnecessarily, then you're not teaching. Okay? Now that doesn't mean that sometimes we don't have to be strong. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying the word unnecessarily. Emphasis. Right? Prabhupada was sometimes very strong. But that's necessary. And in fact, with Prabhupada, it's interesting. The more compassionate you are, the more you can see. It's a beautiful philosophy. I mean, it's just incredible. The more you have consideration for other people, the more you are able to actually see. And because you can see, then you can apply properly. You know, we do these prayers. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshu Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Shri Gonitai Guru Parampara Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. We offer respects to the spiritual master because he's destroying the ignorance within the heart. The first success is to be able to see the reality. It's a big thing. As long as we can't see the reality, you're in real trouble. Imagine you're walking through a minefield with your eyes closed. Does that sound like a good proposition to you? This is our condition in the material world. We're walking through a minefield of the material energy with our eyes closed. And these literatures, they're there to open the eyes. And the first thing you understand when your eyes are open is, I'm in a bad situation. This is a really padam padam yadvipadam natesham. This is a really dangerous situation we're in. material energy will take you out whenever she gets an opportunity, with absolutely no hesitation. So what do? We have to take shelter. It's not a question of fighting against Maya. There's no battle. It's you take shelter of Krishna or you lose. That's it. Right? That's it. There's no middle way, no other options. It's just Krishna or Maya. Right? Either you take shelter of Krishna and he escorts you back to the spiritual world, or you don't take shelter of Krishna and Maya will just knock you out. So we have to know, how do we take shelter? So we want that culture where we take shelter by receiving the blessings of the devotees, because by their blessings we will attain the mercy of the Lord. We're approaching Krishna through his devotees. I'm going to have to put the caveat there. Prabhupada, often when he talks about devotees, he actually means pure devotees. I remember I was giving a class at Soho Street, and we were talking, and the verse or purport was talking about the modes of material nature. And so I took the opportunity to point out that we're not above the modes. And I could see some of the new brahmacharis, they were shocked. I thought, what do you mean? I'm transcendental already. You know, I was like, okay. I remember having that experience myself, you know. Because it does say the devotees are transcendental to the modes. But Prabhupada's speaking about pure devotees. He's not speaking about me. I'm not transcendental to the modes. Right? I'm very much under the modes. So there are so many things like that, so many fine points to the scripture, so many nuances. Yeah? So we have to be sincere. And if we're sincere, sincerity means what? It means, Krishna, I want to know you, I want to love you. I'm fallen. Right? People have this, in Kali Yuga, everyone wants to act like they're more than they are. But why? Has anyone ever been proud in their life? Raise your hands. Right. Has it ever helped you? Can anyone say that it's, you know, it was good, it helped me, it really gave me some lasting benefit? Not at all. There's a psychology to pride. When you have pride, you think that you're the center. We think that we're the center of the universe. Then we have false expectations of everyone else. You should be like this. You should be like that. You should just know me, right? You should just understand what I need, Prabhu. Really. But how do you know what everyone else needs? It leads to all these crazy expectations. And that is actually a limiter. There's a whole science to understanding things by their symptoms. Whenever you see someone who's puffed up, you can understand their relationships are falling apart. And if they're not falling apart right now, they will fall apart later on. Because you can't have meaningful relationships if you're self-centered. Right? All that happens in Kali Yuga, two selfish people coming together, everyone's expecting the other person is going to do whatever they want. I'm going to lord it over you. And then the other person's thinking, no, I'm going to lord it over you. And then the breakdown in the relationship is, there's an issue. What's the problem? The problem is, you're not letting me lord it over you. Right? Yeah, what's going on here? So all of these things, we're meant to move beyond. We're meant to be cultured devotees. It is so that if you read, as we read Chaitanya Charitamrita properly, you get drawn into these loving exchanges. And you're just looking there thinking, when can I have some exchanges with devotees who are like this? When can we just sit down and we can just talk? Just tell me about Krishna. Right? How are you practicing devotional service? What realization has Krishna given you? Okay, what have you read? Oh, I've read this wonderful pastime. Krishna was doing this, Krishna was doing this. You know, what have you read about? Oh, that's so beautiful. Like, help me to understand this. These real loving exchanges. And if that's there, then you know what? The pain of these, of the burden of these modes, they just lift off. They lift off in the association of devotees who are engaged in Krishna Katha. And then the movement and the preaching really grows, but in a very deep, in a deep way. Right? Because otherwise it's easy to do preaching and you're really after your own prestige. Right? And how do you know that? You know that because you're prepared to stab other people in the back for your project to work out. That's how you know. Right? So then you see, subtly, it's no longer let's do as much service for Prabhupada as possible. It becomes, I need to get my prestige, your competition, so we're going to make sure that you fail so I can succeed. So it's become material. Any arguments against that? Right, good. It's become material. And that's what goes on. So if we try to take advantage of what's been given, life becomes very different. I mean, there's so much sweetness to these verses. So just look at this. This is text number 279. As long as it does not turn iron into gold by its touch, no one can recognize an unknown stone to be a touchstone. I remember reading something. It was something that my spiritual master had mentioned. He said that when you're doing devotional service, it's in one of the books, he just said, the person who's sweeping the floor, if they are sweeping the floor with devotion, they are doing so much more to bring blessings into the environment than even the person who's maybe on the Vyasasan giving the class or on the altar. So again, it's that mood. If you do something wonderful and you think it's you, you're in trouble. Because when I claim that it's me, i.e. I am the controller, I'm the doer, Krishna says, okay, great. Good luck. You keep doing it. You're God. Good luck. And without Krishna's mercy, everything falls apart. But if the mood is different, if the mood is, you know what, whatever it is, whatever we seemingly achieve, it was due to the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Right? And not just as an ISKCON cliche, by the way. Oh, yes, it was Gurudev, you know, like, but actually, we really know who did it, actually, right? No, not like that. If you can mean it in the heart. These verses are so beautiful because they're just so touching. You can pick up something. They're so touching. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to give mercy and give the credit to his devotees. The devotees want to give credit to the Lord. There's none of this selfishness. And it's from the heart. They really mean it. And therefore, there's so much strength. There's so much joy. There's so much inspiration and enthusiasm to keep serving when you serve with devotees who are like this. And then you don't have to give a seminar on community. Right? You don't have to give it. This is community. Right? You don't have to talk about community. Because you see, these people are already in community. And this is attractive. So, this verse, as long as it does not turn iron into gold by its touch, no one can recognize an unknown stone to be a touchstone. Next verse, upon seeing transcendental Vaishnavism in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, everyone could understand that Lord Chaitanya was none other than Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Because he's transformed this person in this way. And they all are just in ecstasy about Lord Chaitanya delivering this individual. Oh, this is so wonderful. Lord Chaitanya has delivered this individual. We're meant to reflect this. Oh, it's so wonderful. Prabhu's done the service. It's just so glorious. Oh, it's so wonderful. Mataji has done the service. It's just so glorious. But it's a practice. It really has to be a practice, and we have to cultivate that, because the opposite is also true. If I don't cultivate this mood, I will be envious of the Vaishnavas. If I'm envious of the devotees, what will I do? I will criticize them. The envy will come out from my heart, it will come out on my tongue, and it will be used. It will be weaponized against them. And that envy will break the circuit of my devotional progress. It's very interesting. In the Bhagavatam, regarding the fall down of Bara Maharaj, I mean, he's given up everything. His kingdom, his family, he's performing austerities. He comes all the way up to the platform of Bhava-bhakti. Bhava-bhakti. To become attached to a deer? I mean, you could look and think, really? You've given up a kingdom, and you're attached to a deer. Now, I know that some people like their pets, but this is ridiculous. Right? It's attached to a deer. But not just attached to a deer. You're on Bhava Bhakti. So you're experiencing the initial stages of love of Godhead. Bhava Bhakti is devotional service in ecstasy. Technically speaking, it's considered to be siddha. It's not sadhana bhakti. Right? It's a category of its own. Bhava Bhakti is a category of its own. So then the explanation is given as to how he could become attached to a deer. It's because offences made to great devotees in the previous time. So that one thing that can pull someone down from Bhava Bhakti is offences made to great devotees previously. The actual word, when it's described in Bhagavatam, the term that's used is actually karma. Again, the subtleties to the teaching, because the explanation is that your karma cannot pull you down from the platform of Bhava Bhakti. Nothing material can pull you down. Therefore, the indirect meaning is given, right? It's offences. Right? The Goswamis explain this. It's in one of the Sandarbhas. It's explained like that. So much subtlety to it. But we don't want to emphasize so much the negative, although it's good to know. It's good to know. The nivritti is good to know because it stops the negative things sneaking up into your life. But we want to know what the negative looks like so we can avoid it, and we want to do the positive and move forward in that way. Let's look at some other verses. Interesting. After this incident, all the inhabitants of Jagannath Puri, headed by Kashi Mishra, came to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And then later I shall describe how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya always engaged in the service of the Lord. There are symptoms. How do you know you've received the blessings of the Lord? How do you know? Then you'll know because you have a taste for service. Prabhupada, I believe he was in India on a train with his disciples. They're all in saffron, shaved up. And I think it was a family. They asked Prabhupada for blessings. Prabhupada said to him, he said, "If I give you my blessings, you'll become like these people." He says, "If I give you my blessings, you'll become like these people. Do you want my blessings?" Oh, Swami says, "Okay, it's okay, it's okay. It's okay." Yeah. Because of our impurities, we'll project our own idea of what it means to receive blessings. What it means to receive blessings is that you'll become an unalloyed pure devotee of the Lord. That's what it means to receive blessings. Right? You'll have a taste for hearing and chanting and serving the Supreme Personality of God. That's what it means you've received blessings. Right? That's the essence of it. And it's very interesting the way that this verse ends. So text 284 to 285. I just want to check what time is class meant to finish. 8:30. Sorry? 8:30. Okay, I'll make this last point. So this last verse. If one hears with faith and love these pastimes concerning Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he very soon is freed from the net of speculation and fruitive activity and attains the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And this is if one hears with faith and love. This faith is extremely important. And there are different types of faith. There's Laukika Shraddha. This is a faith that comes from the external situation, right? So I'm part of the crowd. I just want to belong, right? So I'm going to act like this, I'm going to do like this, so that everyone thinks, yeah, he's a devotee, and I'm part of the crowd. That's more Laukik Shraddha. This faith is Shastriya Shraddha. This is the faith that comes when we really understand and accept what the scripture is saying, and the conclusions of the Shastra. Pure faith is the understanding that just by engaging in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, everything else will be done. Everything else will be achieved. This pure faith is a currency. And the more pure faith an individual has, the more advanced that they actually are. It is the fuel of the entire journey. And our job is to protect our faith by our sincere service and our sincere association. And look at what's being said here. If you have that currency, then when you read, what do you gain so much more? When our faith is built up, it manifests in one form. It manifests as surrender. The more I have faith that there is a supreme person who loves me beyond my wildest imagination, who actually is in control of everything, the more I have that faith, then life becomes a very sweet exchange. If I know Krishna's behind everything, then literally everything that's happening to me, there's a reason for it. Right? Everything. And there's a loving, affectionate reason. Even if it's negative, there's some higher purpose. It becomes even more enlightening. So Krishna sends devotees to praise you. Thank you, Krishna. I'm so fallen and lacking in enthusiasm. You're sending the devotees just to encourage me to carry on practicing. Krishna sends the devotees to get on your case. Ever happened to anyone? Right. He sends the devotees to get on your case. Thank you, Krishna. You know I have a big false ego, and if I don't have my false ego minimized, I will not be able to continue in this devotional service. I've seen that personally. Sometimes Krishna will just break us down. Why? In order for us to continue to move forward. And you may think, oh, it's so negative. No, it's hugely positive. Because you'll see sometimes that when the individual doesn't become humble, that pride comes before a fall. Yeah. So there is no such thing as a lack of mercy, because Krishna is always there. We're really fortunate. What I would like to encourage you to do in your life is try to understand with humility why Krishna allows certain situations to come into your life experience. Right? Try to really understand that. Right? What are you trying to teach me? And don't just take your own intelligence. Consult Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. And try to understand the loving exchange of Krishna in your day-to-day life. I'll just share this and we'll stop. Is that with permission, just to go over just a couple of minutes? Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. So I was... something I was listening to yesterday. And they were just talking about how in life you can see you have different situations. And I had it was just really wonderful, wonderful experience. I was remembering the instructions I'd been given by my teachers. And I could see a direct correlation between different situations that I have in my life and how the instructions of my teachers, they perfectly deal with every different situation that I come across in life. And I was just feeling so much gratitude that just through the association of Krishna's devotees, these constant miracles are coming. So in life, you may have to go through these situations. You should act like this, right? So it's almost like you may go through these situations, but if you act like this, you'll get the best of those situations. It's all so mercifully arranged. All we have to do is try to be sincere, and everything is taken care of in ways that you cannot possibly imagine. Because Krishna, he's here, he's present, and he genuinely cares about every single devotee. It is absolutely incredible. It is incredible. But we have to try and be open-hearted to listen and sincere. And the sincerity is grounded on the humility. Because without humility, there's no advancement. Okay, and we'll stop there. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Jani Tai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay. Is there time? Okay. So, my seniors have instructed there's time for questions, so my apologies for going over. But any questions, comments? Yes. Great question.
You're speaking about how when we do something good, we should apply to our credit score, we should
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. So you were speaking about when we do something good, we shouldn't try and take credit for it. We should see it as mercy. I was wondering, because we have such a strong desire for recognition, how do we become free from that desire?
That's a very good question. So, everyone heard the question? We have such a strong desire for recognition, how do we overcome that desire? There's many ways to think about that question. The first thing that comes to mind, devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. Let's be very honest, often as devotees we're unhappy. I never heard it spoken about in the class, but I'm going to speak about it. Often devotees are unhappy, which actually means we're not necessarily performing the devotional service as well as we can. We go through the human experience en route to becoming transcendental. Okay, so we can't jump. We have to be where we actually are. So there's a few different dynamics to it. One is to engage in devotional service properly. Right? So you can engage in devotional service properly. Do it in good association. Make sure your foundations are there. Am I reading regularly? Am I hearing regularly? Am I chanting properly? So we always start by looking at the foundation. What am I standing on? Am I associating properly? You should try to associate with devotees who inspire you. Sincere devotees. I often see devotees go into difficulties. Oh, but this devotee did this and that. So, but if you knew that they were like that, why did you associate with them? Oh, but they're devotees. How many people are in ISKCON? Right? You had to associate with that person. That was the only option that you had. There was no one more sincere. Yeah, who are you associating with? You should go looking for real association. And if they're critical, they're always negative, they take one bad sign. If you see a devotee who takes joy in putting other people down, get the hell away from that person. Right? Yeah, because if you think that they're going to do that with everyone else and they're not doing that with you also, it means you're losing your mind. So you start by looking at the foundations. If there's good association, it's easy to become like this. It's easy to give the credit away. Because in good association, you're giving and you're receiving. That's good association. In bad association, you're giving and they're taking. It's one way. Right? We're meant to have this society of devotees are meant to engage in these loving exchanges. Prabhupada directly explains that the nectar of instruction in the purple. He's built the society for that purpose. So you find devotees you can sincerely have these loving exchanges with. You can reveal your minds. You don't have to fake Krishna consciousness. Yeah, I really become disappointed when I see these cultures within our movement where people are being fake. Or it's pretentious. Right? And they're doing it because I can't trust this person, they can't trust me, so everyone's gonna pretend while they're suffering. And you just think, like, when can I just get away from this? Right? So, in real association, everyone's hankering for that, but we have to become that for other people. Then, it's loving exchanges, meaning you're revealing the mind, you're inquiring, you're giving. See, when it says we're giving gifts, appreciation is also a gift. So what we're really looking for is devotees who we can have these genuine, Krishna-centered, heartfelt exchanges with. Then the question will never even arise about recognition. You can check this out. I'm telling you this, you can check this out. You can have devotee A, who has no real friends in Krishna consciousness, who's superficially making a big thing of himself, and they're like, oh, wow, you did this, you did that. And you can have devotee B, who has deep loving and friendships and devotee association. The joy of this devotee who's got real friends, who doesn't have to pretend, the joy that they have makes this look like suffering. They will never exchange their position for this position. Right? These are just poor substitutes. And when you see too much emphasis on that, it's because the person's lacking something inside. You know? So good luck. Great. You have your prestige. We'll go somewhere else. Good luck. That's how it works. So find devotees that you can have these real loving exchanges, Krishna-centered exchanges, who you can genuinely encourage and infuse, and who also reciprocate in that way. That's what we're looking for. That's what everyone's looking for. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yes, we'll take one last question and then I don't want to keep the bullies from breakfast.
Thank you for the class, Will. You were speaking how that in the association of advanced or pure devotees, our false ego is broken down. If we don't constantly have that association, is there other ways that we can be working on helping to break down our false ego as well?
Yeah, I mean, but the essence of it is to be honest. I mean, I know in my own life so many mistakes I've made, so many mistakes. Like, but what's the problem? It's just that's normal. Like, why is that an issue? You know? And if you remember that, then how are you going to feel proud? You see all these devotees, they've given up so much to be Krishna conscious. Why do we want to lord it over them? Why? Like, what is to be gained by lording it over the devotees? You know? Isn't it, would you not be happy? Does it not make more sense to serve them? Isn't it? And if we just look in our hearts, we see so many faults. Why would we be proud? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah? So it's about being humble, and it's about recognizing our actual position. And if we recognize our position, we'll always feel the gratitude. See, there's two things. There's a sense of entitlement, and there's a sense of gratitude. If I think I'm something special, I become entitled. And then you know it stops you experiencing Krishna's affection, because whatever you get, you think, yes, I deserve it. In fact, I deserve even more. Come on, Krishna, hurry up. Come on, devotees, recognize all this kind of stuff. This is entitlement. So because of the false ego sucks away any experience or realization of love. But if there's a mood of humility, I'm nothing. Then everything is gratitude. They give you a hard time, gratitude. Krishna's so kind. People encourage you, gratitude. Because I know I don't, well, because we try to understand we don't actually deserve anything. Yeah? So that's how we can help to dismantle the false ego. And it's not a philosophical kind of gymnastics. It's logical. It's logical. We don't own anything. We didn't make the Krishna consciousness movement. We didn't create these temples or anything. They're here as facility that we're taking advantage of. We didn't create the philosophy. Someone else created the philosophy. Prabhupada came by himself to give this to other people. He came to give only. He didn't expect anything, didn't take anything. He just came to give. So we're living off someone else's mercy. What is there to be proud of? Like, what can I say that I've done? Okay, you gave the class. Who gave the books? Was it you? Someone else's philosophy. You're repeating what you've heard from other people. Someone else wrote the books. Someone else made the books. That philosophy came from God himself. So what is there to take credit for? Okay, we do a project. Okay, did you do it by yourself? No, there were so many other people. Okay, so the result is actually everyone else, not you. Okay, great. Right? How did you get the opportunity to do the service? Okay, someone else gave me the opportunity. Okay, so what are we proud of? It's like you look at it and it, okay, I came to Krishna consciousness. How did you come to Krishna consciousness? Someone gave me a book. What are you proud of? Yeah. If you look at it honestly, there's never anything to be proud of. It's just that because we're proud, we take the credit for something that's someone else's credit. And if you trace it back logically, it always comes back to Guru, to Prabhupada, to Krishna. It always comes back to them. It's always someone else's credit. Right? You have a realization, okay, I remember coming into class, Mother Kalangan is in the class. Right? Why is she in my class? Because she's actually advanced. Right? So it, neophytes, I can't come to the class because you know they're junior, etc. All the advanced devotees, they just want to relish the teachings. Right? So advanced means humble, therefore if they're actually advanced, they can come in here from anyone because they're actually advanced. We get it the other way around. Oh, I'm too good for this. I only come when Guru Maharaj is giving the class. Yeah, really. Yeah, we have the whole thing backwards. And as long as we have it backwards, nothing goes into the heart. And then you see the devotees, we have it backwards and we're empty. Empty means we're unhappy. Yeah. But if you, but the sign that you're doing it properly is you feel some joy. You act, oh, thank Krishna, I can be in the association of devotees again. Thank you. I can hear something about Krishna. I want to serve and I take joy in serving. Yeah, something, the heart becomes full. Right? This, and it's not me. It's exactly what's stated. This ahoitukya pratyata yama supersedity. In order to completely satisfy the self. Right? So we can pretend to be something, or we can be actually joyful in serving sincerely, selflessly. People hear in our movement oftentimes the words pure devotional service, people want to, they want to run away from it. Because we don't understand it. That is the state of real joy. You serve purely, you don't, none of this political stuff, not trying to get something, not trying to profile, not trying to get prestige. These are all substitutes for genuine spiritual fulfillment, which comes only by serving purely. And if the devotees you're around are pushing something else, then run away. Find some devotees you can serve purely with, who you can get a good example from, and let everyone else come to their understanding eventually, without pulling them down. Compassion. Because that state of being self-centered in Krishna consciousness is a state of punishment. Right? People can pretend all they like, you know, okay, these are lower modes, they're unhappy. Full stop. Doesn't matter what's said, what goes on social media, they're unhappy. Full stop. Right? And the devotees who are serving sincerely with their heart, they will have tremendous joy and tremendous realization, and they'll be able to give that to other people. So when people come to their senses, you serve, the sign that we have come to our senses is that we serve purely, without false ego. Does that answer your question? Okay. Okay, so we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Prabhupada.